And 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, we'll begin reading at verse 13. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which have been taught, whether by word or our epistle. Now our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God, even our Father, which hath loved us and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. I want to look in 2 Thessalonians. It's three short chapters this morning. It speaks of concerning the coming of our Lord. It speaks of the days of the tribulation period. It speaks of the days when the man of sin will be revealed. But there's also these believers that the apostle is encouraging them, exhorting them, and even commanding them. Now, I want you to get that. Even commanding them how to live until Jesus comes. How to live in the days that they believe they were in the last days, and they were and we are in the last of the last days. I really believe that. I believe that this book is inspired of God, every word. Every word. And if the Apostle Paul said in his day that they were in the last days, in God's timeline, and they were, then we are surely in the last of the last days. Amen. And the thought that grabbed me was in verse 15 where he said, therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which you have been taught, whether by word or our epistle. Stand fast and hold the traditions. The traditions. Do you see the word he's using there? There's nothing wrong with good, godly tradition. Amen. Good godly tradition, by the way, will be as close to Bible conviction as anything you can get. Amen. I'm talking about, I'm not just talking about any kind of tradition. There's a lot of people that's got strange traditions, but he's talking about these spiritual godly traditions that have been handed down from one generation to the next. Amen? And I want to tell you something. In these last days, people seem to be geared up to do away with the traditions of our forefathers. Amen? More and more and more people want to leave the old-time way. When God tells us to search that way, search out that way, go to the old paths. Didn't he say that? Yeah. Amen. I'll preach that to the day I die. You and I should be looking to the old paths, looking to the old way, not to the new way. Amen. Amen. If you want to get some new traditions, find the old ones. Amen. That's been lost.
good godly tradition. And now, I mean, when you think about what he was talking about here, when he used the word tradition, and he used it here and in chapter number 3, verse number 6, look what he said. Now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, that's enough that you and I should do what he's fixing to tell us to do. He's commanding us, and he's commanding us in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? That ye withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly, and not after the what? Tradition which he received of us. You've got those that are walking disorderly and not walking after the tradition that they have received of us. That old time way, the way that God's church has been instituted, amen, and the way the church has walked for years, the path the church has been in, now you've got a brother here, he said. They want to walk disorderly. They want to turn from that way. And he said, I'm commanding you, amen, to withdraw yourselves. Listen, if you want to backslide on God, get with people that don't want to walk in the old time way. Amen. I'll say it again. If you want to backslide on God, get with people that don't want the old paths where it is the good way. Amen. You quit walking that holy walk, that straight walk, that sanctified walk, that godly route. Amen. And start walking a worldly walk. Start going the way that so many are, they're just fascinated with today. And people think they're being spiritual, you know. There's been a whole generation of Baptists that think they've been abused because they've been preached to. Amen. And now they're recovering. They're recovering and they're liberated. Amen. I mean, just free and liberated. No, what they're doing, they're enjoying the flesh. They're enjoying the world. They're enjoying doing the things they've wanted to do for a long time because many of them don't have on the inside anything that ever really changed. Are you listening to me? Listen, God, when he saves us, he changes us. Makes us new creatures in Christ. Is that not what the Bible said? Amen. That God sanctifies us, sets us apart. Amen. We're to be vessels, meet for the master's use. I mean, didn't he say very plain, come out from among them, be a separate people, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing, and I'll receive you. You'll be my sons and daughters. We've got a holy God, and a holy God wants his children to be holy. That's not too much to ask. But listen, when he said traditions and then tradition, he said, I want you to hold the traditions. Stand fast and hold the traditions that you have been taught, whether by word or by our epistle. Listen, whether it was in this book or whether it was godly Paul sending word and saying, tell them this is the way to walk. Tell them these are the things that they should be doing in their lives. Tell them these are the things that they shouldn't be doing in their lives. And so whether it's by word or by epistle, and then in chapter 3, he warned them to withdraw from every brother that walketh disorderly, and not after the tradition which he received of us. Tradition, there it is again. And that means the act of giving up, giving over. That's the word that he used. And that is the context that he uses it. To give up, to give over. In other words, to what's being taught. These are the traditions. Give up your own tradition and give over. Amen. Give over to the way the church is being led and the church is being fed. Are you listening to me? Give up, give over. That's what he's talking about. Those are traditions. Listen, there are people that have families, and for years they raised their children in a certain tradition, and while their kids are growing up, they may not like some of that. Especially, you know, those old timers, you know, the way they lived. Some of their kids thought, well, why can't we be like everybody else and everybody else's family? And, well, this is the way we do things in our family. But you know what? There'd come a day they'd realize the purpose of it and they fell in love with it and they finally gave over. And said, this is the life. This is the way I'm going to live. This is the life I'm going to walk in. Amen. That's what he's talking about. That's what he's referring to. Now, back in chapter number 1, I want you to see what the Apostle Paul, who he is talking to, rather not what, who he is talking to in the believers at Thessalonica. First, you find in verse 3, he said, we are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth. First, the love abounding that they had. Look what he was talking to a group of people that had love abounding. He said, it's meet because that your faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity, not of half of you, but of every one of you all. He didn't just say every one or every one of you. He said every one of you all. He wanted it to be clear. I mean, that who he's writing to, every last one of these Thessalonians was abounding in God's love. Amen. What a group of people to be around. Amen. What a group of people to walk with, to hold the tradition with. It's a group that loves God and loves one another. That is abounding in that love. Listen, love covereth the multitude of sin. Love constrains us. Your love for Christ, how strong it is, will determine just what you'll do for Him and what you won't do for Him. There are some people that say, I can't do this. You just don't love Jesus that much. That's all that is. You just don't love Jesus that much. If you can't give over to the Lord, I mean, look what He gave for us. He gave all for us. Amen. It's not too much to ask. Amen. For Him to just say, love me the way I've loved you. I've give all for you. Now, how about following me? Amen. Oh, yes, but their love, their faith groweth exceedingly. They had faith enduring in verse number 4, so that we ourselves glory in you in the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that you endure. Every tribulation, every persecution that these people faced and that they endured, are you listening? Their faith was growing stronger and stronger and stronger. They had faith enduring. That's what Paul said about them. We glory in you in the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that you endure. A strong believer is not shaken by what comes into their life. They're not shaken by trouble. Are you listening? We might be troubled, but we're not shaken by trouble. Our faith doesn't stop. Our belief in Christ. Are you listening to me? Some people get in a bad way. First thing they'll do, they'll quit God. They'll quit church. And they'll start blaming God. Or if something really bad happens, they'll get mad at God. Listen, our flesh, it is as wicked could be. And you don't need to let your flesh overcome your faith. Your emotions in your flesh do not need to be stronger than your faith in Christ. Amen. The faith of your inner man, the strength of your inner man needs to have enduring faith. However hard it may be, endure hardness, as a good soldier, Paul said. Endure. They had faith, enduring in all your persecutions and tribulations. In verse number 6, they had rest in revealing. He said, see, it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you. And look at it. To you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed. You can rest in His revealing. Amen. Knowing that when He's revealed from heaven with His mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on, He goes through the whole thing, taking vengeance on them that know not God. Amen. Them that trouble you, He said to you who are troubled, rest with us. The Lord Jesus is going to be revealed from heaven. And He uses this word reveal in this book several times. And He's talking about when He makes those things plain. And when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven, when He says, I'm here, like I said I'd be. Amen? Oh yes, when He says, I come just like I promised to get my children out of this world. Amen? Oh yeah, when He shall come to be glorified in His saints, verse 10, to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. They believed it. They had faith enduring. They had rest in revealing the Lord's coming. In chapter 2, verse 15, where we're taking our text, they had a foundation standing. Therefore, brethren, stand fast. Hold the traditions which you have been taught, whether by word or by our epistle. The foundation that you and I stand on are the things that we're grounded in. That's when you become unmovable. You have a foundation, listen. When you trust Christ and absolutely Him and nothing else for your salvation. His blood. Listen, preachers can say whatever they want to say, but you know it's His blood that washes sins away. Amen. You know that it was His death on Calvary. Amen. His sacrifice. Oh, yes. Listen, I'm talking about the things that we are taught. Through the Word. That's our foundation. Amen. That's what we're grounded in. That's what he wants us to stand fast in. Amen. Not to be moved. People in this day are being moved by every wind of doctrine. They're being blowed here and yonder. I know there'd be a lot of people. I heard the other day, I listened to stuff going down the road, preachers, see some of the stuff. I try to listen to my good preachers. But every now and then I see something when I'm scrolling, I'm like, what kind of stupid thing made him say that? So I'll click and listen to see. And I'm talking about some of these big preachers. One the other day, I know he made a lot of Baptists happy. He said, tithing's a sin. I'm talking a theologian known in America. And said, oh, that was just for Israel. Strike one. Tithing was before Israel. That was under the law. Strike two. It was before the law. It was in the... just several things he said. And I thought, as smart as he's supposed to be, he's saying some very idiotic things. Amen. On the TV. Are you listening to me? I know better than that. You know why? I'm grounded in it. I've been taught. It was given to me. I know where God's blessings come from. And I know what God wants from us. Amen. That's right. And I want to be a part of God's sowing and reaping. Amen. Amen. That's right. I will tell you, God has been good to this old boy. If anything, it's going to make me give more, not less. To hear some idiot like that and what they're trying to do is shake God's people. Throw off God's church. They don't want you giving it here. They want you sending it there. Amen. That's right. That's right. Listen, if you got a problem with that, you got a problem with God. That's all I can say to you. You got a problem with that, you got a problem with the Lord. I know in whom I believe. I know where my foundation is. I've been studying this book for over 30 years. Amen. I've been preaching it for over 30 years, 33 years. I've been studying it and preaching it. And I've never seen anything in there contrary to what I just now told you. Are you listening to me? If I saw something in God's Word, I want to be the first to give it to you. Are you listening? God commands me to feed the flock. To feed the flock of God. To give you what thus saith God. Amen. I'm hurting you if I'm not giving you this book. And to lie to you to make your flesh feel okay. I'm hurting you. Amen. I mean, people say some of the stupidest things you hear out here in Candyland today. Some of you may get that after a while. Listen, that's all people want to hear out here, sugar. Sugar. And some of the stupidest things, amen, sounds good to the flesh, but it ain't biblical. It ain't biblical. Ain't nothing biblical about it. Paul said, hold to the traditions. Hold to the traditions. Amen. Hold, stand fast and hold to the traditions. I'm talking about having a foundation. Listen, he told this people that was abounding in love, that had enduring faith, that was resting in the revelation of Christ. He said, there's a day people's going to be shaken in mind. They're going to be troubled by spirit and by word. There's a lot of spirits today And there's a lot of so-called word today. There ain't but one book. There's a lot of word, but there ain't but one book. There ain't but one God's word. It either says what it does in this 1611 King James Bible, or it don't, as far as I'm concerned. These other versions, they've got it wrong. They've twisted the text. They're using a polluted text. I know that. I know that with all my heart. I know that. They twist it. It changes the doctrine. Amen. It changes the doctrine, the belief, and people's messed up in what they believe. You need to be grounded in the Word. They're going to be shaken in mind. There's going to be a lot of deception in verse 3 by any means. Let no man deceive you by any means. People are going to be trying to deceive people by any means. If they have to use religion, they'll do it. They have to use strong arm, worldly tactics, they will. Whatever it is, by any means. There's going to be a lot revealed. Look here. Now he starts talking about the man of sin shall be revealed. The son of perdition. It means he's going to be uncovered. To lay open what has been veiled. Or covered up. You see, right now, he's like an angel of light. There's a lot of people thinks he's taking them to heaven. They believe what he says. But there's going to be a day he's going to be revealed. Listen, the cloth's going to come off of him. You're going to see you've been deceived. People will see they believed a lie. That's what's going to happen here in chapter 2. Then he's going to believe a lie. They'll be damned. They'll enter into the tribulation period with the Antichrist who deceived them. Amen. Oh, yes, there's a lot taking place. In chapter 3, he said, pray that the word will have free course. He uses the word over and over in different ways. The word of the Lord in verse 2 of chapter 3. He said to be talked about being rescued from unreasonable men. For all men have not faith. Unreasonable men is men that are out of place. That's what that means, unreasonable. They're out of place. Out of place. Lord, have mercy. Three little chapters. Look what the Apostle Paul is talking to them about. And he's talking about God's Word. In verse 1, he said, "The word. Finally, my brethren, pray for us that the Word of the Lord may have free course. Verse 3, look what he said. But the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. How? Through His Word. Verse 4. Look what He said. And we have confidence in the Lord, touching you, that you both do and will do the things which we command you. Amen. You'll do and will do the things we command. Those are the commands of God's Word. Look at verse 5. The Lord direct your hearts. The Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patient waiting for Christ. When he said the Lord direct your hearts, it means to straighten it fully. To straighten it fully. See, and no doubt they save people, and they're half-hearted. The Lord can straighten you fully. He can cause you to, if you'll lean on Him, if you'll submit to Him. Are you listening? If you'll give over, you'll have a clean heart like David prayed for, a full heart. You'll follow him with a whole heart. The Lord will straighten you. Amen? Are you staying with me? In verse 10, he said, we command you. In verse 12, he said, we command and exhort. It's the Word of God that is going to establish you and I in these days. Amen? That's going to help us not to be swayed, not to be carried away, not to be deceived. Amen? Not to be all the things that he talked about in verse 2. Not to be troubled. We can stand. Stand in that we've given over to. Won't you give over today? Won't you just give over to God today? Won't you quit wrestling with God? Amen? Quit holding to the world and trying to hold to God at the same time. Amen? Lord, have mercy. Now the Lord of peace himself give you peace always by all means. Verse 16 of chapter 3. The Lord be with you all. With you all. It was his desire, listen, not to lose one. But that all of them. Do you know the benefit of a whole church? All of them, their love abounding. All of them, their faith enduring. All of them are unshaken. All of them are not troubled. All of them are resting in the revelation of Christ coming. All of them have give over to the traditions that they had received of us, Paul said. All, you all. Or are you just that one that's... The Bible says, quench not the Holy Spirit. You see, the Holy Spirit walks up and down in the church, according to Revelations. He's up and down in the church, and he knows what each one of us is doing. He knows where each one of us is. And what you just need to do is quit making excuses and give over to him. He can make you strong. Amen? He can make us strong where we're weak. That's right. That's right. But a lot of times people just, it's hard for them. Listen, stay with me just another second. It's hard for them because they're greedy in some way. With their flesh and what they have and what they want. Listen, we're all made out of the same thing. I can remember years ago there were some things that I truly thought I'm going to have a hard time getting rid of this. But it really wasn't no hard thing at all. When I just obeyed him and said, okay, Lord, I'll do what you say. I found out taking his yoke upon me was easy. Amen. His burden is light. Why? Because he's the one bearing the load. My life is now his life, his responsibility. He says he'll take care of me. My problems are his problems. How about you this morning? You going to stand fast? Are you going to keep walking in your own way? Don't walk in your own way. Don't quench the Spirit. Don't hinder the work of the Lord by disobedience. You know what disobedience is? It's the sin of witchcraft and stubbornness. Is his idolatry. That's what the Lord said. So now the next time you feel like shouting, if you were being stubborn and disobedient, I want you to think about that verse right there. You say, preacher, that's being mean. That's being hard. No, maybe it'll help you get in the altar. I know it helped me get in the altar. And still helps me get in the altar. Every time I think about it. Because I sure don't want to be involved in something like that against the Lord, do you? I want my relationship between me and Him to be as clean as that water you gave me the other day, Brother Danny. I mean, just even cleaner. As clear as crystal. Our path, our relationship, that prayer line to Him, unhindered, unquenched. Amen. Praise the Lord. I want you to stand.